But Women Publish, the podcast collection featuring self-published authors of non-fiction and other experts who support them during and after the publishing process. So I'm your host, Bev Ryan, author of the book Smart Women Publish. I work with business and professional women by providing book coaching, editing, design and publishing services to help them author quality books that will give them authority and visibility in this space. And the part I love is the enormous self-confidence and pride that comes with it. So today I'm talking to Philippa Spork. Philippa and I met several years ago. Philippa now lives in Sydney, Australia. She is a marketing strategist with 25 plus years experience in key account management and sales leadership within the Australian advertising and media industry. So one of the things we'll be including in our conversation today is the idea of publishing as a career strategy. Is it feasible that authoring a book will help you stand out in your industry as a highly valuable asset to a company? So welcome, Philippa.
Good to be here.
Yeah, it's good to see you. So last time we spoke, you were living in Brisbane. So I'm really interested in the change in your career.
Yes. Well, I've done a few sort of, shifts since we spoke. All good ones and all sort of powering forward in a positive direction. So.
Cool. So what are you doing now in Sydney? What's your role?
So I have moved across about 18 months ago to Accenture. So I'm working with I'm running a division here in Australia, which is relatively new, called Accenture Interactive Operations. And we work with marketing departments of larger organizations who are looking to find efficiencies in their marketing function and who are looking to navigate the huge technology explosion that has overtaken the marketing department. And I guess when I wrote my book, the challenge that everybody was struggling with at the time was social media and content marketing. And so that's why I went down the path I did with the book. I obviously that's evolved even more over the past, when did I write that book now? 4 years ago. Technology has fully exploded. The art and craft of marketing has completely become, one that really requires a lot of science to it. And it requires a huge investment in technology if you're a large organization with millions of customers. Mm-hmm. And so I sort of apply a bit of the common sense approach to marketing, which was the theme in my book as well, is regardless of all the technology and regardless of all of the sort of bells and whistles that are part of today's marketing function, at the end of the day, you've got to be using communications and creating content that is what your audience wants to hear and what, providing products that are what your particular target audience are looking for. So at the end of the day, I think, I was brought across to Accenture with very little technology experience, but I was brought across here because of the way I think and because of the way I can simplify complex issues. So my role is really to bring together the various people at the marketing function, whether they're technology people, content people, advertising people, media buyers, or what have you, with the right experts within my organization. And a lot of times that actually involves a lot of times we get called in to help them with technology, but we end up having to help them with their operating model. So I have to bring in people from our talent and organization division, and we basically have to help them recraft an organizational structure that's built for today's technology. So look, it was a huge shift for me because I'd come out of traditional media and obviously was part of the advertising industry in Australia when it went digital. The book was a really, my turning point where I realized that my common sense and all the knowledge that I had acquired over 20 years had a value,
When you wrote your book, you were doing a program with Kylie Bartlett.
Yes, I was.
Yeah.
Well, and she was the one that actually said to me, you know, you underestimate the value of what you have in your head and the arsenal of knowledge that you have and how that might help people, particularly at that time. I think, you know, small to medium businesses. I had a marketing, I guess I'd come out of the corporate world and I had a small marketing business and I was contracting to small to medium businesses in Brisbane, and I wasn't sure, you know, how was I going to monetize and scale that, and how was I going to do that whilst raising three children. So I needed something that would allow me to have a little bit of flexibility and that would allow me to develop a business, a sort of tangible, profitable business, and do it in a way that I was providing something that people could afford. So I spoke to Kylie and she sort of, it was her Pimp Your Author Profile program that I did, and she was really, really critical in kind of helping me frame my thinking, frame my story, put the right building blocks in place to make sure the content made sense and was structured in a way that it could be meaningful and useful for a business. And yeah, really, if it hadn't been for her, I wouldn't have had the guts to do it. And I wouldn't have thought that what I had to say was hugely valuable. I think, you know, a lot of knowledge you acquire, especially when you work for a big organization. I'd always worked for big publishing and television organizations, and you just have to adapt on the fly to suit different client challenges. And you kind of don't really, understand the true value of what you have. And then it was Kylie who said, well, why don't you write it down and why don't you write a book? And I was thinking, well, who's going to read it? You know?
So we keep mentioning your book, but we haven't mentioned the title. So you can tell us the name of your book.
Yeah, well, the book, at the time, I decided that, you know, really the problem was about navigating the rules of social media and figuring out how to play in a new space at the time for businesses. So the book was titled Rules of Social Engagement. And it was very much designed to be sort of a step-by-step guide to demystifying all of the jargon that sat around content marketing and the use of social media to drive business outcomes. And I think, you know, that was really at the sort of advent, you know, the early sort of 2010 and beyond was the advent of content marketing and the idea that you would create content that wasn't selling anything, it was building relationships. And so Rules of Social Engagement was kind of about stripping back all of the layers and figuring out what you wanted to talk about, what your customers wanted to talk about, getting into their mindset and creating a program of content and delivering it across the right channels at the right times with the right messaging. And it was very common sense. So each chapter had a template that you could download to fill out for your own business. So at the end of it, you came out with a business plan or a marketing plan that, that delivered outcomes for your business. Because it takes a lot of time to create content and navigate, you know, and keep it. It's a very hungry process, creating content for social media. And it's hard for people to understand how that's going to generate business outcomes.
Yeah, definitely. I often refer to your book when I'm taking people through the early stages of planning their book. And I reference your book because of the great resources that you had prepared and put on your website. So you're taking traffic from your book to your website and capturing their details and just giving enormous add-on value that you really can't do through the book. Sometimes there are places in a book where the information you want to impart needs to be in a separate place. So that's an ideal way to do it, just have it on your website.
Well, I think we're lucky now we can do that. You know, if you were publishing a business book in the 1950s, you couldn't publish online resources.
That's right. So in terms of, I was sort of jumping around a little bit in the conversation because there's so many valuable insights just hearing your story. Even just the fact that your subtitle was something very simple, a step-by-step plan for driving sales through social content. It just, you know, as you're aware, sometimes you're naming the book, writing the subtitle, they're really key elements. And with a marketing background, I guess that always helps with that part of the book. But that simple, reducing something complex, such as rules of social engagement, to a step-by-step plan for driving sales, which everybody wants to do through social content. You know, the subtitle does the work.
Yeah, and I guess that the hardest part was delivering that, you know, making sure that, you know, that was always the plan. And you know, Carly worked with me on, all right, what's your value proposition with this book? What's going to be different about this book than the other books that are out there? And I think, you know, really that's probably why it was well received, was because there was a practical element to it where you actually had to think. You couldn't, it wasn't like you just read the book, closed it and then went, okay, now what? You've actually come away from the book, if you used it properly, with the thinking that was required. Like, really, that book is all about making you think. It's all common sense. You know what your, you know, target audience, you know who they are, but it's making you think about how do they consume content. I think a lot of people just blurt out what they're trying to sell without really thinking about what's my audience actually thinking when they're browsing Facebook. You know, what are they looking for? What mood are they in, and how, what messaging are they going to, you know, what messaging are they going to respond to that's going to remind and keep me, you know, and my business top of mind for them, in a way that will stick.
So in the writing phase, you mentioned before you're a mum of three and busy lady. So some people struggle with finding the time to write. So how did you find that worked best for you? What was your writing mojo, your ideal state when you wrote?
Yeah, look, I guess it took, the actual writing of it took 6 months, and I did that predominantly at night and sort of in the school holidays. I'd find blocks of time. I'm not a very structured person by nature. Like, I've had to become so a little bit, but I sort of would go in fits and starts, but I'd always kind of try to, you know, put a good, you know, 5 or 6 hours in a week minimum. So it might, you know, even if I just had an hour before bed, I'd go and, you know, I'd sort of, at that time, I guess the kids were, so what was it, 4 years ago? So they were 14, 10 and 5, no, 14, 11 and 5 or 6. So they were all in school, but there was lots of homework and lots of activities, and I had my business. So I'd sort of, you know, I'd put aside some time. I try to put aside some time every day. But if I had a nice window, I actually enjoyed writing it. So I would find, you know, if I had 3 or 4 hours, I'd allocate half of it to writing a little bit. And of course, you know, I'd go on in waves of productivity, and then I'd go on, you know, there were sections of the book that I enjoyed much more than others, and those would come easily. But then obviously there are, like with every process, bits that you don't love as much or you don't know as much about, so you have to do research on. But I tried to be, you know, I had the end in mind. You know, I always was aware of where I was, you know, because I'd done the structure of the plan, I knew how far I was in the game. And So I once I got halfway through, I got quite motivated because I was like, all right, well, I'm in the home stretch now. Yeah. And then I got excited. You know, I got excited to show it to other people. And, you know, it was me. I was the reader of it for the beginning. And then, you know, I got my friend in through Facebook, my friend in the UK to read it for me, who I'd gone to boarding school with for 5 years, and she runs a content company in London. So I got her, she was the first person who actually read it. And you know, I remember thinking, oh my God, what's she going to say? What's she going to say? And, you know, it, she was really positive and came back going, wow, I can't believe, you know, you created that. And that sort of gave me a little bit even more confidence. And she had some really good feedback, really good suggestions and ideas and feedback. And, you know, then I started working with you, and you had even more. And so I was really happy with the end product. But you know, that 6 months, I remember thinking, wow, are people going to like this? Is this what people want? Mm-hmm. So I think that was the sort of, you know, the process I went through, and thinking, well, really trying to put myself in the mind of the audience and saying, well, what do I need? You know, what would I need if I didn't know this information?
Yeah, I mean, that's key to for every book, isn't it? Unless people are writing their own story for their own purpose. But in the sort of work that I do, the people that I'm working with, it's really about understanding their market and understanding what they need, what their pain points are. So when your book was launched, I know you had some pretty amazing things happened after that. So did you sort of intentionally take a marketing, put your marketing hat on and think, well, how can I maximize this book now it's here?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I was quite sort of lucky that one of the, you know, I had Kylie really helping me with formulate, you know, and pushing me when I was, you know, it's funny how I'm in a sales type function. I've always worked in a sales function. But when it comes to selling yourself and being pushy about yourself, it can be hard because you feel like you're being, you know, arrogant or you're being, you know, pushy. And, you know, when I struggled with that, Kylie would always push me. She'd go, no, you've got to follow up. You've got to get more people coming. You've got, you know, the key was, you know, getting 100 people in the room on the day, which I did. And that was exciting. And, you know, I think it was 95 or whatever, but you know, it was about really generating a bit of buzz and a bit of hype. And so that was sort of the first part. And then really using my own channel, social media, to get the message out there. And It's amazing how that sticks, you know, people are engaging, you know, I had a relatively large number of followers and nothing in huge influencer stakes, but enough in my industry and enough people that were aware of what I was doing, and it, I guess a lot of small to medium businesses. So it brought me just a big amount of awareness and a new level of, I guess, understanding about what I did and what the value was. So, you know, it was a really interesting, I guess, the shift between me selling other people's products to selling myself as a product. And then I had the benefit of being, you know, in the past, I would write the award entries for Channel 7. So I knew how to write an award entry, and I knew sort of what the most important elements were that you had to bring out. And so I thought, well, I would be getting invitations for all the award submissions, and I'd go, well, you know, I'll put my hat in the ring. And so I guess that also builds up a bit of, I guess, credibility, and then people, you know, and get, I guess, confidence to reach out to people and ask them to support your, you know, promote your book on your behalf, and, you know, promote it on their channels and talk, you know, positively about your product, you know, to their networks. And so I guess, you know, it just really helped me leverage the network that I'd built to, you know, generate awareness. And you know, you have a short window of time really with a book, I guess, in a way, because it's not new forever. So I guess it was one of those things where sort of, you know, I remember flying to Sydney and having my whole family there and winning the, you know, the People's Choice Award at the BNT Awards and for Women in Media, and kind of being shocked, you know, how did I get here, you know? And that was, I think that was the most exciting part, because the other awards I won, I wasn't in the room. They were global awards, which was exciting, but I wasn't actually there to go up on the stage and get an award and have to address the audience. It was just, it was exciting. It was like sort of a feeling of satisfaction, like all that effort was worth it and that there is value in what I have produced.
So just to clarify for the listeners, the global awards were book awards, which is pretty exciting. So the first one was the bronze medal in the IPPI Awards, which stands for International Independent Publisher Book Awards, which are based in America. So that's amazing. And
yes.
In 2017, it was the Global Book Excellence Awards winner. So that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah. Oh, it was exciting. It sort of validates that, you know, there's always this fear, I think, when you create something that, you know, is there something in it that's not, you know, right? Are people going to sort of, you know, execute the plan and have it not work? You know, there's the usual self-doubt that you have. But, you know, I think it's about really, for me, it was hugely invaluable to have you and Kylie guiding me along the way, because I'd never done it before. And I think following a process and having to answer to someone who will say to you, why would you do that? Or what's in it for the audience? Or why have you put it that way? And having to, you know, think it through from another point of view. And I think, you know, that's really the big confidence. It's probably the biggest thing I got out of it was confidence in my own knowledge and my own ability, It gives you something that not only is it impressive on your resume, and you know, and I think it's one of those things that when I'm in meetings, you know, I don't really promote the book anymore. It probably needs to be updated, you know, for me to do so, because a lot has changed in, you know, social media since 2015. But, you know, when, you know, people look me up on LinkedIn, or when they sort of look me up, because I'm lucky, I have a very strange name. So everybody, when you put Philippa Sporkin, I'm the only person that comes up. So, you know, people go, oh, wow, I didn't know you did all that, you know, and I think it's something that I'm not much of a, you know, I don't yell and scream about myself. So it was a little uncomfortable for me in the beginning to put myself so out on center stage for myself. You know, I'm more than happy to stand up on the stage and sell something else, but this was quite sort of, you know, raw, because it's your thoughts you put onto paper, and then, you know, other people can, they're there for everyone to judge, you know.
That's right, you're quite vulnerable. Yeah. So just what I'm interested to know, and I don't know the answer to this, so do you feel like there was kind of a pathway from publishing your viewpoint in your industry to where you are now? Are there dots that connect?
Definitely. I think I never went back at the same level than when I'd left. So I'd left, and I was effectively in, you know, a sales management role where I was working with marketers. And then I never really went back. I went back as a thought leader and as a guide and as a sort of trusted advisor. So I think it changed the perception of me, I think. And that also, because, and I'd run my own business and written a book on what the business did, and it had been well received, and the business was you know, generating a good income. And you know, it was interesting, predominantly, I think, you know, if I had done that without the three children and kind of, I don't know, if I'd maybe been a little bit younger, maybe I would, you know, I sort of got lured back into corporate life because of the consistency of it. Being in Brisbane, you know, I guess was also a little bit of a barrier for me, just for the particular type of work that I had done. I sort of got lured back into the corporate world, but at a different level. Like, which, you know, and I did enjoy it. I had always enjoyed it. And the only reason why I'd left it really was because of the children and the 9-to-5 thing, you know. And so I, you know, really, I'm now at Accenture full time, and I've been here for 16 months. And it's the first full time job in the office that I've had for 18 years. You know, Maddie is now 18. So, you know, it actually sort of, I think it sort of juggernauted my capabilities and kind of opened up, put me on a little bit of a point of difference that was makes you stand out. So I mean, I wouldn't change any of the direction that I went in. And you know, I would say definitely that after I came out from the book and the business, as like I said, I was more of a thought leader. But of course, now I'm learning again. I'm learning something new. That's kind of part of the cycle, in that, you know, I sort of always feel like it's just my personality type of always got to be learning something and kind of evolving. And, you know, marketing is really evolving, and technology is a huge part of it. So when I was approached to join Accenture, and that was, you know, through someone that I knew who was at 7 West Media, who was moving back to Accenture after a few years away from it. And so that was quite a privilege, and also, I guess, something that I know that when I was interviewing at Accenture, you know, a lot was talked about, oh, you know, you published this book and, you know, you won these awards. And that was kind of part of my resume that made me stand out from other people in my, you know, in the field. And, you know, I think, you know, I don't think I'll be writing a technology book anytime soon, but you know, what I've done is I've taken the strategies and then employed them on bigger companies, and I guess as part of a bigger operational process. So it's been a real, you know, it's a launch pad for sure.
No, definitely. Because I talk now and then about the fact that I think more professional women should really seriously consider that option to stand out in the industry, to take their expertise and put it together in some shape or form as a book, because there's so much involved in that. There's the learning process for a start, and the consolidation of ideas and viewpoints as you write.
Yeah.
And choosing what you want to be seen for. That's really first step, isn't it? Or what do I want to be seen as an expert in?
Yeah. And it is interesting because, you know, in Pearly, that's maybe the one thing, you know, that I would have dialed up the content story more than the social story, because I think really the channels will keep changing, you know, the channels, it's really the quality content, you know, targeted content, that's the most important piece of the puzzle, really. And so in a way, I had to shift gears away from social media as my area. I don't know if you heard any of what I said there.
slight technology problem there, but we're good. As long as the listeners would have heard that seamlessly, but I had a little malfunction with my headset, but all good. I've learned that you just keep going.
I just think that, yeah, potentially I would have focused in on the content side, less so on the social side. I don't want to be known for social media. I want to be known for the content.
Yeah, sure. Excellent. So I'm really happy to hear you say that. I probably will quote you at some stage about how your book was advantageous in catapulting you into another level within your industry. And I think that's really important.
Yeah.
For people to see that. And it's very hard to find somebody who is actually working within corporations or within a structure as an employee it's hard to find anyone that has used publishing as a strategy for career growth, but I'm working on that one. It's a space to work in that space. So it's wonderful. So just to kind of sum up, just some key points or key tips that you might give to other women who are considering publishing but sort of feeling that bit of trepidation that naturally comes with it.
Yeah, I guess my biggest one is have confidence that your knowledge has value. That's my biggest, you know, that was my biggest, and it did take someone else to tell me that, but when I actually thought about it, you know, my perspective was, well, isn't that all common sense? And I remember Kylie saying, no, you know, if you have a business, you know, you're not going to be a marketer. If you have a small business, or if you're wonderful at making a particular product or service, it certainly doesn't mean that you know how to market that product or service. Mm-hmm. But the truth is that, you know, as I think there has to be, I mean, it's, you have to have the confidence, but you probably do need some validation. You probably need to do some research. You need to, yes, you can be confident that the knowledge you have has value, but you also need to validate the demand for that value. And the other thing that Kylie really made me do was have a look at who else was playing in that space and how was I going to differentiate my book from the other books that were out there. And, you know, in the end, the book, the thing that I thought was missing from all the other books that was out there, was the templates and the practical application. So I think that point of difference was critical, because you can think you have a good idea, but until you really thought it through, and you the first thing I was tasked with was writing the back cover. That was, you know, basically write your value proposition. That's the thing that it's going to make people want to buy it. And it's funny, because writing the back and sort of selling the idea before you've written the book sounds odd, but once you've decided what it is that you're selling and you're happy, you think, I'd buy that. You then have to go and create that, but it makes you think about what it is that you're actually, what's going to be the end product. Cause anyone could just sit and start writing and write aimlessly and then sit at the end and go, where's the structure? So my first thing I wrote was the back cover. And then I wrote, you know, sort of a why, how, you know, and Kylie worked with me to structure so that each chapter had the same, you know, it started with a question, then it went into like a, you know, I think there was an analogy or a, you know, a something that demonstrated why this was important. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, three key points and then a wrap up at the end. So each chapter followed a process.
Yes.
And I think that's critical. So to get someone on board to help you, with me, it was Kylie Bartlett, and then to bring you on, you know, to really help craft that, that the actual publishing, you know, getting it publishable and going through all the processes and the, you know, the editing and the, you know, the second guessing and the thinking through, you know, those final polishes that can make such a difference to the impression you leave behind when you finish the book. I think the key is getting experts on board.
Yeah, definitely. I think to come to have the final product that wins the Global Business Award, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that was pretty exciting. It's a life, you know, bucket list moment.
Yeah. Okay, so we might just round it off with that. You know, we could talk here for a long, long time about all sorts of things, books and marketing, and I haven't really even covered how you marketed your own book, but that might be another conversation in another time and space, just a separate little focus on book marketing. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for your time today. And what's the best place for people to find you online if they're looking for you?
Well, I think at this point, I've sort of probably the best place is through LinkedIn, because my website, I've sort of put a pause on that because I'm not currently, I don't have capability to do the work, you know, for clients that, you know, we're just working full time and having three teenagers. I think, you know, I've always had an open door policy, and so yeah. LinkedIn is probably the best way. It's just Philippa Spork. I'm the only one. I think I'm the only Philippa Spork on Facebook too. So Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram. I'm, you know, more than happy to talk to anyone who's thinking about writing a book or, you know, going into marketing consulting. You know, open door.
Thank you. Thank you so much. That's awesome. So it's wonderful to have you here. I'm Bev Ryan. And my website is smartwomenpublish.com.